So, obviously, if you were here in June Camp Meeting, you know what the theme is and how it was going. So, it's just continuance. If you don't, we're obviously talking about your calling. So, I started with the definition of what is a calling. And when I was looking it up, there's actually two callings. There's what we call it a primary calling, which is obviously our Christian calling. A Christian seeking to follow Jesus each and every day is a calling. That is our primary calling for salvation. A vocational calling or secondary calling is what they call a work that fits your gifts and brings a deep sense of purpose and significance. And I thought that was really good. Your vocational callings is your summons from God to use your gifts in the world, whether it be in paid employment, the home, or volunteer activities. A lot of it's putting more than likely going to be volunteered activities. And there are some that's going to be in your, you know, in your home. You'll put things into to place that God's given you as well. So what does it mean to have a calling, a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of a divine influence? So, you know, sometimes we say calling and maybe you're like, I really don't know what they're talking about. So that kind of gives you a little bit maybe, I know there's a lot of words still there, but a little bit more of a meaning. Like I liked how it said a strong inner impulse. So sometimes maybe you feel like strongly, you know, pulled towards something. And you could even relate that into something you've done in school. You know, maybe you're like, I really want to take this course. I just kind of feel a pulling towards it with what I like and how I'm made up. And you kind of feel a pulling towards that as in, you know, a calling of your physical life of things. So finding that talent, what you're really good at, takes time. So sometimes you volunteer and you help out and you realize, that's not a good fit, right? And so that's what's good now is to kind of just, when I looked what Brother Jeff Carr said, he was there and they needed him for this, he did that. And if he needed him to clean toilets, he did that. And he got a little bit of taste of everything, right? And I think he still does a little bit of everything. So must not have bothered him. But and he must have been pretty good at all of it. But sometimes maybe you find something, you're like, this just isn't working. But, you know, it takes time to find, you know, just like in a job. You know, you don't always, I have very rarely met anybody that's got their very first job and they stay there for the rest of their life. Because a lot of times it's like fast food. So that would be kind of depressing if that's where you stay the rest of your life. But, I mean, maybe. I've never met anybody personally. So sometimes it takes like, okay, I don't really want to work at McDonald's the rest of my life. That's not my goal. So let's go on to, maybe I want to, you know, work at a bank. Or maybe I want to go to school or technical stuff. Or maybe I'm more mechanical thinking. And so you kind of try different things. And then hopefully, sooner than later, land on something that you'll want to make a career out of. And that you really enjoy. That's kind of good too when you're having a job for life. Growing up, my mother would always tell me, God has a special work for you. He has a specific, special plan for you. Now, that wasn't her deeming you are a golden child and, you know, you're just above everybody else. No. What it was telling you that God has something special for you. It's the same message to every single one of you. God has something special specifically for you. You were designed specifically for a special thing, a special call that he's got for you. And as she would say this, I would start meditating on this thought and I would think about, well, I wonder what God's special plan is for me. Well, I hope it's not to be a missionary because I really don't, I don't see that happening, right? And so you got kind of get to thinking as you're young, like, what is God going to call me to do? And sometimes, you know, maybe it's, we don't want to meditate too because it might scare us and we don't want to say no, but we kind of have to be open to what God's going to open that call for. God created us to serve him and to serve others. So a lot of times with these calls that have been, it's serving others sometimes. You know, if it's working on the ground, sometimes that's working towards others. If it's working in the kitchen with, you know, Sister Nana, I think that's a call, working in the kitchen and preparing the food and knowing how much and quantities and all that thing. That is serving others, but it's also serving God. And so we are specifically designed, that's God's plan, to serve others and to serve him. And so I remember like in high school, and I don't even know if it's a course anymore, but they had home ec back in the day. I'm going to probably date myself, but home ec. And I took it, and there was multiple things. There was sewing and all these things. And there was cooking, and we did a section on sewing. And I quickly found out that was not my call. I was more frustrated and mad than anything in the whole world. I ruined the outfit I was supposed to make. I picked a bag with zippers, which if anybody does sewing, zippers are horrendous. Why I picked zippers, I'll never know. And I realized quickly that if there is a call that needs this skill, that is not going to be my call because I despise it. And to this day, I don't know a sewing machine. So if it rips and I can't fix it, it's out. Because that's not my call. It's just, it was not for me. And so sometimes you'll find something, you know, that you do enjoy, or something that you don't. And so the good thing about right now is you're in that age where you can try different things. You know, when you get my age, you not a whole lot. I can't go back to school and try home ec again. I might need to sometimes, but I can't go back and try home ec again. But there are things that you're in a position that you can try different things and see what kind of I'm not sure about, or maybe, yeah, that one's better. So I was maybe 19, and I'd started helping on occasion. I believe we were married at the time. No, I've been older than 19 then. We were married, so I was probably 21. And I started helping on occasion different Sunday school teachers that would have, not necessarily the teachers, the helpers that were maybe absences or vacations. And I would help out filling in, and I really thoroughly started enjoying it. I'm like, this is so much better than I thought. Like, this is really cool, and I was really getting into it. And I started to feel a little tug, that call, right? And I went to the superintendent at the time, which none of you know who that was, because that was eons ago. And I expressed my desire. I have a desire. I really kind of feel a tug to help out in the Sunday school classes. And then at that time, he was an older gentleman, and he said, he advised that he really didn't like to use young girls because they get married and they have children, and then they can't help no more in the Sunday school class. And I was like, oh, well, what am I supposed to do with this feeling then? Because I really felt like that was my call. But okay, right? And so I just continued doing what I was doing. I could have got all upset and, you know, attitude about it. But there was a reason. It wasn't time to, you know, things weren't falling in place yet. And so I didn't understand, but I continued to be faithful to work in the church. And I don't really remember the exact time frame, but I was asked to help Sister Sherry in the toddler room to assist with them. And if you understand, if you've been in the toddler room, they need a lot of assists, because the little ones are just learning to sit and they don't do very well at it. And so I was helped to learn to help out in there. And I did that for some time. And again, I don't remember how long I was in there. And I was asked then, for the superintendent came and said, Sister Marion Lewis needs a helper in the fifth grade girls. I'm like, toddlers, fifth grade, that's a big jump. Like, how do I, okay. But I was just gonna be a helper. I was gonna take attendance and I was gonna, you know, put the offering out. It wasn't gonna be a big deal. And so I said, okay, all right, well, step into this. And so I started doing the bulletin board and little crafts with the girls, and I was loving that. And in less than 6 months, Sister Marion said, I'm gonna retire. And I said, you're gonna what? Yes, you're gonna be the teacher. And I said, no, I don't teach. I do the crafts, I do the attendance, I don't teach. She wanted me to teach one Sunday. And after that, she said, you did well, and she left. And I was like, oh boy. And I was right in the middle of the year. And so Sister Jessica, we used to be Sterlecki, was my first class. So that'll tell you how anciently old I am. So I have been teaching now for 19 years. So I'm sure the first couple weeks that I was teaching them, poor girls, probably were like, what just happened, right? It was a little rough till you found that rhythm. And now I've been different teachers, have thoroughly enjoyed it. Look forward to the classes and interacting with the girls. And it's definitely something I felt like God wanted me to do and where I'm at. While I was still a young person, before we got married, I was somewhat of an unofficial section leader in the youth choir. The quarter kind of had me help out, probably because I'm loud and know music and can, you know, sing their bassier and kind of help out, get parts and help her with that. And obviously I love music a lot, so that was not a problem. And so I started doing that. Well, in 2000, year 2000, we got married. So I did what everybody else does. I graduated from this room and moved on. So I thought, So we weren't really sure what our call was going to be. We're moving on. And so for 2 years, we kind of just was a married couple and did our thing. And Brother Nick and Sister Jeanette got married 2 years later. And she had been helping in the youth choir. And Sister Quarter said, will you come back and help in the alto section of the youth choir? Now, I think that was around the spring of that year. And I said, okay, I know the songs. That'll be okay. I could do that. And so we started doing that. And then that summer, she came to us and said, will you and Brother Chris help with the youth group? And I was like, no, wait a minute. That's not really what we were thinking. You know, we were loving adult life and doing our thing. And that's way more qualified than we thought we were. Well, I thought was that we were going to be more complicated than I was qualified for. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. But I was pretty sure I knew the answer was going to be, no, that's not what I thought it was called for. So the funny thing is, I never run into Brother Quarter, ever. And the following week, I go to the chiropractor, and there's Brother Quarter. And I was like, well, that's really odd. And then I had to go to the mall, and I never go to the mall because I just despise it. And I ran into Brother Quarter, and I'm like, are you joking? Why do I keep running into you this week? And I said, Brother Quarter, I never come to the mall. And he said, same. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm getting the picture. Why do I keep seeing him repeatedly coming up? And Brother Chris will share with you how he knew separately his answer as well. And so, obviously, we began to help. And I went to Sister Quarter, and I told her, I keep running into your husband this week, and it's not helping me when praying, because why I keep running to him? And she's laughing, because she knows this was not a coincidence, that it was God giving us our call, our answer. About that time, Brother Quarter become treasurer, and so, that, of course, that was filling his time more and more. And Sister Quarter had her, but her parents were getting older, and they eventually went into, it was either dementia or Alzheimer's. And so that really occupied her time. And so it was God's timing that she needed help to come in at that time, for us to come in and help her. And I learned so much from her. I mean, I might have come in to help her, but I learned so much from her. One was how to listen. You know, you want to just give advice. And Sister Quarter was so good about sitting there, and someone would tell them their plans and what they're doing. And I'm like, what in the world? And she would just sit there and just listen. And sometimes after the person talked it through, they kind of hear it themselves. And then they would kind of change. And then she would kind of maybe say a few words. But she taught so much that I was able to learn from her just at that time. And I remember telling her, I said, Sister Quarter, when I agreed to help you, I do not remember agreeing to get so emotionally involved. I said, I am up at night worrying about this young person, praying for this one. I've got a burden because I feel like this one's struggling. And she was just kind of laughed and said, yes, we were receiving the call, getting the burden for the youth, concerned about where they were doing, how they were struggling, what they needed, and what we could do to help them. We were receiving the call. And so you have to have God's calling on you, give the burden, or things can really become messy quick. If it wasn't God's will, it would have been really damaging to the youth group for us to help. We would have been, you know, maybe had the wrong attitude, or maybe just not gave the, you know, the right helps during that time, and it would have been more damaging. So it's really important to know that, you know, God's calling you to do certain calls, most all of your calls, really. So then about 11 years ago, Sister Quarter told us that God had told her it was time to retire. Brother Chris and I were very shocked, because if anybody, probably nobody was in here at that time. They've all moved on. But Sister Quarter always says, Church of God doesn't retire, they refire. And I said, no, Sister Quarter, wait a minute. You always said we don't retire. What's going on? But she said God had told her. He gave her a specific date. She knew it was time to move on. And so obviously finding the right God-called couple to be the next youth leader was highly important. And so we weren't really sure what that meant for our call, Chris and I. And we didn't know if that meant that was closing our call and a chapter closed, and maybe we were moving somewhere else to do something else for the Lord. And Brother Decker met with us, and he called us in, and he said he wanted to tell, obviously, what was happening and who the next youth leader was going to be. And I already had kind of the mindset, this is kind of coming to a close. We've done what we needed to do at the time, and it's, you know, it's done. And Brother Decker said, I want you to continue on as helpers. And obviously, working with my sister and brother-in-law, was not going to be the problem. That was not the issue. That was going to be an easier transition, but I just felt like we're not going to be needed. I mean, with Sister Quarter, I really felt like we was needed, because she had so many things going on, and they were going to be a team, and they had all, you know, all this knowledge and ideas, and he'd been working with teens, and I'm like, we're really not going to be needed. I'm not really sure where our call is going to be, or how it's going to shift and how it's going to change. So, but it's important not to let the devil convince you and work on your mind deterring from where God wants you, you know, because obviously God was saying to Brother Decker, still keep them there. And if I just said, no, I'm done, and left, I mean, there were things that God still wanted us to do. And so as I was trying to navigate through, you know, the changes and the feelings, Brother Decker calls me in again. And he says, I want you to take over the youth part and be the director. I was like, well, that's not the direction I thought that was going either. I thought I was done with that. That was moving on as well. And I thought, wow, okay, I'm not really sure about directing. I've never directed before. I don't know about directing. I've, you know, not went to school for any of this. And, you know, overthink a lot of things and the devil brings things to your mind. But I was so nervous, and through prayer I began the process of becoming the director, and I was overwhelmed in my mind, of course, but as I started working through it, I come to realize this is such a fit for who I am, for the music and how I love and how I hear things and how I kind of just create, like to create pieces and add music and instruments and different things. And I thought this was actually really a good fit. And at the time I would have not thought that. I was scared to death. And I was like, no, I don't really think that's for me. But it was like such, you know, and it was a long time. That was just only 11 years ago that I finally felt like this is where God's been kind of putting stepping stones in to get me here to my call. So if you don't get your call by age 20, don't get discouraged, because, you know, sometimes I, you know, like I said, I'm still trying to figure out sometimes what my call is. And I become a mother and I don't even know what my call is there anymore, because that's a whole ball game that's different. So it's, you know, but it was nice to get that assurance that yes, this is like such a fit and this is where I'm supposed to be. And there's all these steps prior were learning from people. It was training, you know, stepping stones, learning patience, maybe not now, maybe, you know, things that I had to work on in myself. And it's funny because I just mentioned the other day to someone the importance of getting involved in the work of God. And many times, like everybody, you know, I have hard times and hard trials and you go through dark places. And many times I've just thought, oh, I've been so tempted to just throw in the towel and just be like, forget it. I'm so done. I just want to quit, right? But I realized I have responsibilities now and influence of lives that are associated with those responsibilities that would be affected. And you know what? Makes you rethink it. It doesn't make it easy just to just slide out the back door because I'm sitting on the back pew doing nothing. When I'm involved, and I think it's so important, that's why now as youth, get involved. So when you turn 18 and you feel a little bit lost, if you're involved helping, you know, Sister Lisa and Brother Rusty, and you're involved with some assigned task, you know, sweeping after church or picking up trash, you feel like I'm needed, right? If you don't feel needed, we've seen a lot of youth that don't feel needed, and they're gone, because they don't find a spot, they don't feel needed, they don't feel like anybody, you know, we could live without them, and so then they're gone. And that's not an excuse, but get involved in the work of God and realize, you know, regardless, people are watching you, whether you're that age, this age, regardless of what you do. Trust me, there's been youth that's left that just every day, I just think about them and I'm so sad in my heart. So don't think that you don't leave a track somewhere, that you're not leaving a print somewhere, that you're just a nobody. So I realized, you know, in the realm of this, it's important to press on, press on, press on. And that is the same message for all of you. Press on till you find that call, till you find what God's wanting you to do. If you quit, He might have the answer right here, something like really planned out for you. And He's like, just work through this. I want to see how you're going to work through this. I think of when Brother Jeff Carr spoke in June about how God was adding to his calls, you know, and how he added just recently cleaning the church. And so I thought, you know, are we done? You know, I'm in my 40s, we're climbing towards 50. And I thought, are we done? And probably not, right? Your calls can change. And I've even seen that list sometimes as ministers have gotten older, you know, people's gotten older and kind of stepped down. They have a different audience, a different work that they're doing and reaching out and in different ways. So your calls will constantly just keep coming and changing. I'm starting to see that. I had ingrained in me as a child, be faithful in everything, whether it's big, whether it's small. If it's picking weeds at church, be faithful. Show up. Do it. If they need you to pick up books after church, do it. Don't be like, well, I wonder who was supposed to do that because they didn't do it again. I asked so-and-so, but they didn't. Be faithful in the small things. And, you know, we enjoy, we don't enjoy everything, you know. Even your chores at home, you know, you may not always enjoy making your bed or doing the dishes or any of those fun things. But it's things to be faithful in that need done. And who's God going to call? The faithful. The ones that's going to say, yes, Lord. When He says, I need you to scrub the toilet. Yes, Lord, right? I need you to do something as minimal as, you know, someone threw up on the floor in the dining hall. Can you go clean it up? Yeah, okay, yes, Lord, right? It may not be glamorous, but starting there, and God will reward you, and the more faithful you are, the more He'll move you up. I thought my call was going to be a mother only, but it's was a detour to be a new youth helper, a Sunday school teacher, a choir director, and then mom. And, you know, since the quarter needs someone flexible to help and not having children right away, we were able to do that. And if we had kids first, maybe we'd say, no, we don't have time for that. And at times not right, but, you know, God meshes perfectly with what when the need is. And also getting the right companion. When you get a dual call for youth leader or pastor or janitor, you know, if someone says, I don't really want to do that, and you're called and you can't work together because you're like resenting them for always being at church or always doing God's work, then that doesn't work well either. So finding the right companion for the dual call. All right, Brother Chris, you're up.
Amen. Very good. All right, so let's look in John chapter 21. I'm going to change what I was going to talk about due to time, but John chapter 21, it's about Jesus. Most of you remember the story. He's dead now. He came back. The disciples have met him. He's been there for a while. He's getting ready to leave. And chapter 21, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed him himself. So they were together. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So Jesus is off, and there's a bunch of disciples together, right? And they're kind of just hanging out, talking. And Simon Peter says, you know what, guys? Verse 3, I want to go fishing. And they said unto him, hey, we also want to go with you. And so they went forth and entered a ship. So think about this. What did Peter get called to do? We're talking about called. He got called to be a disciple, right? So Jesus has been gone for a while. He's died. He's left. And Peter now has kind of forgot about his calling, and he's turned his back on his calling, and now he's going to go back to what he used to do. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you struggle, you're spiritually, you're going through a situation, a trial, it seems like Jesus has left you. You kind of forget about him. And Peter did the exact same thing. He kind of turned his back on what God called him to do. So each one of you in here have been called to do something. My wife just went over a bunch of things that we've been called to do, and I could go over a bunch more, but I want to encourage you, because we're going to see what happens with Peter. So Peter said, let's go fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. We can all go fishing, but God told him to turn away from fishing, sell his boat. We know that earlier, that story, left the boat behind, and he said, let's go fishing. And he was a man of a leader. He was a natural leader. Peter was. And some of you here tonight are natural leaders. So when you guys get away from your calling, away from your call, you're going to lead people with you, right? Older brothers, older sisters, all of you, my kids watch. My kids are toddlers. They do something that they shouldn't do, and I'd be like, don't be kicking the volleyball. He's like, well, I saw so-and-so, young people's kicking the volleyball. I'm like, okay, let's stop it, right? So things that, little things that you guys do are being seen by others. Same way with Peter. He said, I'm going to go fishing. They're like, well, we'll go fishing with him. And they kind of got pulled in with him. Right. And it feels like Jesus is a million miles away. He didn't know where Jesus was. He kind of didn't even recognize that he was there in the situation. And we're going to continue on. Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I'm going to go fishing. They said unto him, we also go with you. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You guys all know the story if you've read very much of the Bible. So all night long, they fished, the whole group. And Peter probably quickly thought, this is why I gave up fishing, because we're wasted a whole night on my calling. And it was a bust. They caught nothing. Some of you here haven't caught anything in a while either. Maybe you're struggling spiritually. You're not doing very well. You kind of got off track of your calling. And I want to kind of encourage you, wait on the Lord, right? He's got something for you. He has another plan. Maybe you don't understand what it is. Maybe he hasn't shown it to you yet. But keep God first in your life. If you're working, keep him busy doing what you're called to do. most of you are called to go to school, right? Mom and dad says, get up, go to school. You're like, nope, God didn't call me to go to school. Well, unfortunately, you have to go to school. If you work, you have to go to work. If you're living right, hopefully every one of you are living right, you have to keep continual living right. It's part of the growing up, right? Working, going to school, living right, Christian, ask God for guidance. If Peter would have spoken to Jesus before he went fishing, he would have saved the whole night. I don't know about you, but if you want to go out and you want to do something, and you do it wrong, and you got to take it all apart, and you got to do it again, believe me, I did this last week. You waste a whole day doing something, and you got to undo it and then do it again. It's so frustrating. Think about your choices. It's time to go get a car. I want to get a jacked up truck, maybe a sports car, maybe a fast motorcycle, or a small, cheap, gas-saving car. I know what your options are, and you know what you want. And you have to think about it, right? Some of you have to think of it for a little while, and maybe you have to talk to your mom and your dad, and they have to say, you probably don't need a fast sports car. It's going to snow a couple days in January, and it's going to be tough, and maybe you need to kind of afford something a little cheaper. There's a lot of decisions you guys are going to have to make. We'll make sure you get the direction of the Lord. Take your time. They sing a song about stand still, wait upon the Lord, right? They're not going to sing it tonight, but... So, what happened? When Jesus showed up and they got his direction, you guys all know they flipped the nets to the other side of the boat and they caught how many fish? 153, it says in the Bible. They caught 153 fish. And I think John chapter 21, verse down there, they brought in their, they kind of bring in 153 in verse 11. And they caught them in a short amount of time. They had to call backups, help them bring in the fish. And that's what happens. When you get the mind of God, you get 153 fish. When you do things on your own, oftentimes you're gonna spin your wheel, so to speak. And your callings are never going to end. My wife just mentioned that. I'm going to skip everything I got here. She's going to finish up with a couple of thoughts. But youth group, I want you guys to be ready when God calls you. We've all been called to be a disciple. What does a disciple mean? It means you share the gospel. You share what you've learned. You share with others. You run into people that you don't know. Maybe someone you've been around for a long time. You want to share what you've got. So while I'm waiting, I'm going to share the gospel, right? I'm waiting on the Lord to call me in my next call. Maybe he just wants you to be a father, a mother, a friend, right? There's a lot of people in here that need a friend. There's a lot of people in this world that need a friend. Show love to other people, because a lot of people out there are just looking for approval, someone to listen to them. I go into a lot of people's houses and they want to talk, and it's very frustrating when you're trying to work and they want to talk and talk, and you're getting paid and you have to get working and they want to talk. Sometimes they're just lending an ear, right? A text, something like that. All right, Victoria, I'll let you come back up. If you guys want to talk to me one-on-one, I can go over my calling. No hands. All right.
I'm just going to end it with, I've asked the Bergen family, they sing this song, be faithful in the little things, be faithful in the small, and God will make you ruler over all.
So just saying, she hit us with this about 2 hours ago, and we've sung this song for over 30 years with my family, but that's four or five other bluegrass instruments to back us up, and you get this, so I'm sorry ahead of time. That's not my comfort zone, let's tell you that, so we could use your prayers.
Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the small, be faithful in the little things, He'll make you ruler over all.
Noah was a righteous man, living in a land of sin. Then God sent a mighty flood. Oh, how it rained and stormed. Because of Noah's great faith in God, his family didn't go through any harm. So be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the small. Be faithful in the little things. He'll make you ruler over all. God was testing Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his son. Don't you know old Abe never questioned him? He just saddled up his donkey and was gone, gone, gone. The boy was laid on the altar. A knife was raised in his hand. Then he heard the voice of an angel saying, behold, behind you is a ram. So be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the small. Be faithful in the little things. He'll make you ruler over all. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the small. Be faithful in the little things. He'll make you ruler over all.
He'll make you ruler over all.
He'll make you ruler over all.
Well, that was the Bergen family unplugged. But anyway, we are so thankful. You know, as I was thinking about Brother Chris and Sister Victoria, Sister Sherry and I could not do what we do without them.
Right.
And you know, even though that, you know, they may not be up front all the time, you know, we do ask them to, you know, take an active part, you know, and bring messages and those sorts of things. But they may not be up in front all the time, but they do such a wonderful work, you know, in the, you know, background. They've got some great creative ideas. They've got a lot of things that they bring to the table that I don't have.
Right.
I don't have. Sister Sherry doesn't have.
Right.
And so, you know, when maybe it is that you're being called to a helper type position, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, your talent's any less significant than the person that you're called to help. But, you know, you bring something, you know, to that particular calling that, you know, it helps Sister Sherry and I be successful in what we do because we've got wonderful, wonderful helpers. And so it takes many working together for us to be successful. And so we appreciate Brother Chris and Sister Victoria. And I think, does my wife have something to say?
If I could just quickly say, Sister Porter, the former youth leader, was also the choir director. And so when Brother Steve and I were asked to be the next youth leaders, I thought that meant I was going to be the next choir director. And I remember looking at one of them here going, yeah, I do not have any idea. And when they asked Sister Victoria to do it, it was just like such a blessing. And I saw as she stepped up, her gift for that is so much better than anything I could have ever stumbled through. It is so beautiful when it's God. And when God moves those puzzle pieces into place, in a very short time, it becomes very obvious whose call is matched up with the position they're put in. And so I'm very thankful, and she does a beautiful job, much better than I could have ever done. And so God knows what he's doing. It's pretty awesome.
Amen. Amen.